Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Robert Hannon. The U.S. House is beginning its vote on a Republican bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. Alaska Congressman Don Young isn't declaring a position on the bill. Alaska Public Media reports Young has no new comments on the subject. Senator Lisa Murkowski wasn't so reticent Wednesday. She says she doesn't like that the bill would allow insurance companies in some states to charge more for people with pre-existing conditions.
I watched the president's interview this weekend where he basically said, no, don't worry, pre-existing is covered. Well, it is and it isn't.
The bill President Trump negotiated with House Republicans would let states opt out of the requirement that insurers charge people of the same age the same premium, regardless of their medical status. Murkowski says that's the wrong feature of the Affordable Care Act to ditch.
I talk to Alaskans about the things that they care about. The first thing that is out of their mouth is, oh, I like the pre-existing condition part.
A new version of the bill would add $8 billion over 5 years to lower costs for people who are riskiest to insure. Murkowski says she's not sure that's the right approach. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly takes public comments tonight on the proposed budget for the new fiscal year. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, borough spending is up against a cap on property tax revenue, forcing a discerning look at budget priorities.
The proposed $161 million borough budget comes close to current year spending. Borough Chief of Staff Jim Williams says the FY18 budget reflects a trend of rising costs and stagnant revenue.
They're just natural costs that go up, plus some contractual obligations, and you have flat revenues, it's going to intersect at some point, and we're here now.
Over 70% of borough spending is covered by property taxes, and the new budget includes a small tax increase, bringing the borough the closest it's ever been to a limit set under a long-running voter-imposed cap.
The revenue that we're projecting to collect this year is about $9 under the cap. We could put $9 in the budget someplace and be 100%, maybe buy a couple gallons of gas for a vehicle, but we're at the cap.
The cap limits the amount of property tax revenue the borough can take in to what's collected the previous year, with a few exceptions, including revenue from new construction. But Williams says not much of that is happening.
There's not a lot of demand to build new properties, and property values are staying relatively flat. Well, as that stuff stays flat or slightly increases, and when you apply the tax cap formula, it's a kind of the perfect storm of stuff.
With no increase in revenue, Williams says it's important for borough residents to tell the assembly what their priorities are.
We need ideas. I mean, what chess pieces do you want us to move?
The biggest piece is local school funding. The borough mayor's proposal is $4 million short of what the school district is seeking. The district is already laying off teachers and considering other cuts in light of a pending state reduction in school support. The assembly meets tonight at 6. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
The University of Alaska Fairbanks held an event yesterday to celebrate 100 years since the signing of legislation that created the institution. On May 3, 1917, Territorial Governor John Strong signed a bill to create the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines in Fairbanks that later became the University of Alaska. In recognizing the centennial, UA President Jim Johnson encouraged the community to look forward.
Although we're celebrating today our 100-year anniversary, a successful next century will depend on many voices, yours and many thousands of others across this state, joining in the demand that our university remain strong for generations to come.
Johnson was among several speakers at the event. UAF History Professor Terrence Cole underscored that although the university is often sold as a path to employment, it has a grander mission.
The truth is, the university is a place for people to explore things they don't know and to throw things we haven't even thought of yet. Well, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear, you know, how many more jobs this is going to bring. And that's also part of it. That is part of the face. But the other side of the coin, the other face, is this thing, giant question mark, and it's wonderful.
The centennial event concluded with a reenactment of Territorial Governor John Strong signing the bill that created the college. Golden Valley Electric Association has seen declining attendance at its annual members' meetings in Fairbanks over the last 3 years. In response, GVEA will bring the meeting to members. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the utility will provide a live online stream of Thursday's meeting to community centers in Healy and Delta Junction.
GVEA's annual members meeting hasn't drawn a quorum of at least 650 members for the past 3 years.
We realize that the days are gone that we're going to get a large crowd of 650 or more at our annual meetings.
Golden Valley spokeswoman Corrine Bradish says in response, the co-op last year approved a change in bylaws to reduce the quorum to 100. The year before, GVEA downsized the venue and switched from the Carlson Center to Lathrop High School's Herring Auditorium. She says that's where meetings were held until the early 1990s, when the crowds got too big.
When we reached close to 1,200 people at the Herring Auditorium in the early 90s, it was just too compact and too tight. People weren't comfortable.
Only 267 members showed up at last year's meeting, down from 329 in 2015 and 398 the year before. This year's meeting at Herring will begin at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, but Bradish says members won't have to show up there to follow the proceedings because GVEA's meeting committee came up with another way to bring the meeting to the members.
They thought, let's try streaming our annual meeting into Delta and Healy community centers this year and see if we can increase participation for those that don't want to drive all the way to Fairbanks.
Bradish says members in Delta and Healy should show up at their community center at 5 p.m. to register.
We'll have it projected up onto a large screen in each of the community centers.
Bradish says GVEA will offer the live stream over Facebook for anyone else who wants to follow along at home and who lives in an area with adequate broadband to accommodate video streaming. She says the co-op live streamed meetings earlier from 2009 to 2011, but only a few logged on back then. The agenda for Thursday's meeting is available at the co-op's website, gvea.com. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Robert Hannon.